Hi there. Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Joining me in the studio today, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us today for New Life Live.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their mind.
Anyone saying that family of origin horrendous sin is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, how
hey,
you
Steve.
Doing?
Doing well today, and hope that we've got something for folks here on this October the 11th.
Oh, we always have.
Yep.
You know, I hope.
I think so. You know, before we start, Dave and I have edited this Life Recovery Bible, and we really believe in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. We have a treatment center, and I'll tell you, it can change everything. And all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have a New Life perspective on addictions and what you can do. Mm-hmm. But I think the worst thing that we hear are people that have adapted their life to the addict, and thus the addict seems to be stuck in the addiction because no one is there to say, hey, it's time you get out of this.
Well, you know, the first thing I had to learn in our situation was that it's a family disease. It's not the disease of one person.
Yeah.
And everybody contributes to the maintenance of that disease. As irrational as that sounds, that's what always happens. So, so when they, you know, if you kind of stay with it, you just become part of the problem. Really, you haven't escaped it. And you may escape it in some way and then replay it again with somebody else because it's built in.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why they often call it a co-addict, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're living with someone, you can say to yourself, okay, maybe I have kind of succumbed to this thing and the addiction doesn't just have the person, but it's got me. I'm living with it. Just call us. Let us help you get out of that situation by getting the person some help. And you can find that help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. By the way, I'll also mention that Dave and Jill and I this Friday will be doing a Focused Friday on forgiveness. So please come and join us for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go right to the phones, and I'm going to start talking with Robert here from Sacramento, California, KFIA. Hello there.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Good. How could we help you today?
Good. I've got myself in a bit of a situation here. It has to do with pornography,
okay.
And my girlfriend as well. We've been together 3 years now. The hitch here is that she's out of state. She lives in Washington. I live in California. We feel that the Lord brought us together, but through this 3 years, we've had sex, and I know that opened all the doors, and that's why we're where we're at now. We struggled with that. We both have children, and we were just really trying to go about it God's way, but it just we did it our way, you know. And
yeah. Okay. So what's the question for us?
I'm just wondering. We broke up for a week. I took time off. I read Every Man's Battle. We came together, and we both admitted to each other that we both watch pornography.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give you some help for that right after this. You are listening or watching New Life Live. We're a listener, watcher, supported ministry. And the only reason that we're not on a station is because someone hasn't helped us be there. If you want to help us be there, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Talking with Robert. And so, Robert, what does your girlfriend say about this that you guys have gotten involved with?
Well, actually, she came to me as far as telling me that she admitted to me that she was viewing pornography. And after that, I opened up to her, because what had happened was when we split up for this past last week here, I came to her trying to reconcile because I was really devoting myself to God and just really praying about it. And I knew I needed to clean myself up and rid that. I mean, it's been on my heart for a long time, and I finally picked up your book and started reading it, and it helped me. And I told her that I've been reading it and want to be a better man and change and respect her and love her more and better. And then she just came and told me that she's viewed it a few times, and that opened the door for me to be open and honest with her and fully tell her that I was doing the same thing.
Okay. So you read the book.
I'm halfway through it. I'm on part 5 now, and right. I just got Every Woman's Battle for Her.
Okay, good. Is there anybody in your life that you could talk to about this, where you'd open up and kind of get the secrecy out?
Yeah, I just need to get the courage and do that. There are people, absolutely. So right now, pretty much when I picked up your book, that was it. You know, that was rock bottom. I hit it. I was like, you know, I got to clean my life up. I know that the sex before marriage with this woman, you know, totally put a hold on God's blessing and will for us. You know, I mean, it was horrible. And so I finally hit it, and now I'm acting on doing what's right, you know. I'm letting my eyes bounce away from what I shouldn't be watching. You know, I'm sticking to the, you know, my eyes don't have the authority to look at that. You know, I'm putting that in, everything into work, and now I know I need to go to somebody else. And that's my real question, is what do we do from here with her being out of state, me being out of state? We both have children. Do we pursue this together? Do we try to, you know, how do we, you know, work this out, you know? I don't want to be hounding her or pressuring her, as she doesn't want to do that to me either.
No, well, I think you need to take care of your problem.
Right.
And I think you need to expect that she's going to take care of hers. You don't want to be hounding her and bugging her. You just need to work on you for a while.
Right.
And then see if you guys are headed the same direction.
Okay.
But, you know, just as you say, God's blessing is not upon your relationship. God can really use this as a way of showing you it wasn't going to work anyway, because she's not with you in this area of recovery. But it may be something that you can use that builds a foundation going forward that will give you the marriage you've been looking for.
Well, I'm encouraged, Robert, in that you guys are being honest mm-hmm. with each other. That's a real positive thing. And I wouldn't. One of the things you've got to be careful is that you don't make each other your accountability partner.
Right.
You've got to have some men that you're accountable to. She's got to have some women she's accountable to. You may say, we can check in with each other, and because we're working at honesty. And then, you know, I think that if you also agree, then celibacy between now and when you might get married would
Absolutely.
Be your standard, then you'll know. The problem with having sex before marriage is not just a spiritual issue. of obedience. It's also just not wise, because once you start having sex, you stop learning about the other person.
Right. And you always want to go back to that next point and push it farther.
Yeah. And that becomes almost like an obsession. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so by not having sex, you're going to learn more about each other. And I would say within, you know, reasonable period of time, you'll know whether this is the one that you're going to spend the life with. And she'll know the same thing. But I just applaud you for your honesty with mm-hmm. each other, both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, I just want to say, when I was doing my book, The Secrets Women Keep, there were some women who wrote in about this very issue of struggling with pornography and how it isn't talked about amongst women, that beyond romance novels, some women do struggle. And I think especially when that their sexuality is kind of awakened in mm-hmm. a relationship and the hormones are present, that's something that they often struggle with. So both of you independently, you know, have to regain a sense of management of those issues in your life by getting the appropriate help. And it will show, too, what you guys are willing to do, you know, and how much you can then trust each other down the road. But, Robert, you talked about you guys don't live in the same state while working on this issue. Well, that's going to be a problem down the road, even if you decide to get married. So dealing mm-hmm. with the problem first and then working out the relationship issues seems like
that's a good
the
plan.
Order of things.
Mm-hmm. You said what was the order of service? Say that one more time.
Working on the sexual issues, right?
Okay.
But then also you're going to have to look towards, if we're moving this relationship forward, there are some logistic issues. It's not just the sexual tension of being apart. It's also
right.
how do we blend our lives in a way that makes sense?
Because mm-hmm. we hear it all the time, Robert, about people with long-distance relationships, and then they get married, and then it's nothing like what they thought because they hadn't spent enough time in proximity of each other.
Right, and there's a certain tension that builds from the distance, a longing for, an imagining.
And an idealization.
Yes, a lot of fantasy life that goes on about the person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, that all fuels the sexual stuff,
you got to find some ways to be together and spend time together.
But be together in a way that
honors your commitments.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. That all doesn't right. set
that's
you
what,
up to
that's
fail.
That's, I agree with that totally. And, you know, when I told her I was reading Every Man's Battle and the things that I wanted to change, you know, she just came open with me first and told me that she's been viewing that. And I looked at that as like, that was my chance. Thank you, God, you know, for that was my way of admitting, because
right.
it was so hard to come out and say, oh, yeah, I look at that stuff too, you know,
sure.
just on my own.
Right.
So for her to do that, I was like, thank you, God. You know, that was so awesome for her to step up and do that. And I also asked her, well, let's just clear the slate. Is there anything else you need to tell me? And during the past couple of weeks, she had told me that she was kind of crushing on or flirting with a guy at work, but it was no big deal. You know what I'm saying? She was just kind of
practicing.
Yeah, you know, she thought he was attractive, right? We all see attractive people. I understand that. That's fine. But she liked him because he was a nice guy. And she felt guilty about it. And she hesitated on telling me about it, but she wanted to when she told me about the pornography. And we were just clearing everything because she felt guilty because she was attracted to him and thought he was a nice guy. But she was open and honest with me and telling me. And now I'm feeling all like, oh, great. You know, what do I do now? Now I got another thing I got to worry about.
Well, it's all part of the same thing, because it's wanting that type of stimulation. It's a thrill to flirt.
Right.
Right? It's part mm-hmm. of the same thing. So that's where she needs to look at, what is that need? What is that need about for her? And why does she have a hard time delaying gratification?
Like, do you talk to him today? Do you look? You know,
no.
I don't want to hound her. I want to trust and believe that God's going to work all this out. And just ultimately, you know, like you guys were saying in the beginning, you know, we need to work on fixing our problems here and getting some buddies together and talking about it and just really drawing closer to God to free us from this and just to be healed. And
yeah.
I don't want to hound her about that either. Yeah. You know,
right.
Go slowly.
Well, right, and a question to ask is, what did you get from that? To ask yourself or to ask her? What did you get from that flirtation? What did you get from viewing that porn? What need did it meet?
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good.
For both of them, yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Walking Into Walls. I'm going to send it to you. Latest book. I hope it'll help. Let's go to Sherry from Lockwood, California. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hello there.
Hi. What's
Thank
going
you so
on?
Much. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Glad to talk with you.
What's going on is my husband over the years has had multiple addictions to drugs, alcohol, porn, and they've rotated from one to the other. He stops them cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Time he's caught, but then within a year or two, another one is back.
Hmm. And so he's never really
separated
because of his porn addiction, where he calls me unforgiving and puts all the blame on me. And it's very difficult.
How that's convenient for him.
Yeah, that's a great con.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's your answer to that, Sherry. When he says that to you, say, you don't forgive something that's ongoing.
Yes.
You can only forgive something when it stops.
Well, what he tells me is that he stopped, as he has in the past. But the difficulty is he's unwilling to take responsibility for his actions and the damage it's caused.
Well, Sherry, it's also concerning to me that you guys have a relationship where he can say, I've stopped, and that would be enough for you, versus I've gotten some help for the problem.
Well, the first two times it happened, I watched him stop. He was very successful at it. It was excellent. But then, now, when it came back again, I told him, look, you must get professional help. You must. Mm-hmm. And so he started with a 12-step program, which
good
just
for you.
Was not enough.
Okay.
We attended together, actually, him for the addictions and me for the hurt involved, and it was excellent. But then I found he was lying throughout the entire program.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So what I did next was I put up boundaries and said, I am sorry, but you need professional help from certified drug and alcohol counselors.
Good.
For which he refused to go. Mm. He didn't refuse. He just kind of avoided the issue over some months. And during the time of that avoidance, his blame on me just worsened and worsened and worsened. Until finally I said, if you are going to continue to blame me in this way, you must leave. And I asked him to leave. We've been married 21 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're separated now?
Yes, since January. And now what I made it very clear that he must leave, but I was all about having treatment together. And that's what the separation was supposed to be for.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's saying he's getting a divorce, he wants a divorce, he doesn't want to live with a woman like me. And it's my feeling that he's out doing drugs and porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you, you look at this heartache, you look at all of this stuff over dirty pictures. I mean, really, it's just bizarre how much pain people are willing to put others through, endure for themselves over dirty pictures. And it shows you how addictive this whole thing is. We know drugs are addictive. This is also. Sherry, is there a specific...
It definitely is. He's a sexual anorexic from it.
Sure. Well, it happens all the time. Men feel like they've got this amazing sex drive, but it's only focused on the counterfeit or the printed page or the
then they
movie.
They can't perform in real life.
No,
then.
That's right. That's what Hugh Hefner forgot to tell everybody, that, hey, this is going to neuter you. You're not going to be able to perform as a man when you want to, and so you're going to blame the woman because it's going to be hard for you to say to yourself, okay, I'm not the man I thought I was. I've made a horrible mistake. Is there a specific question for us, Sherry, that we could answer?
The question that I have for you that is just burdening me, he continues to call me a horrible person. He continues to say that I'm unforgiving. And it's really difficult for me to respond to that.
Well, why would you?
Sherry?
Yes?
You are setting a limit with him. And see, he's an addict that never says no to himself. So he's going to kick and scream more loudly to get you back into that old position. Where you'll
and
just...
I will not be in that position.
It's like right. A two-year-old having a temper
tantrum.
Yeah,
he's having a tantrum.
Yes, and what's happening is this information is going out to everyone we know and all of that. And the worst part of it is spiritual. He's telling me that he's fine with God. What's the matter with me? And I don't know how to respond to
the
that.
The ramblings of an addict.
Yeah, well, you don't need to respond to
no,
that.
You,
it means
you
nothing.
You need to be in Al-Anon so that you're with other people who know how to deal with that kind of behavior, because that's typical addiction
typical,
behavior.
Yeah. If he can make you feel bad, he doesn't have to own anything. You'll do it for him.
Honey, when you get recovery, call me, and then I can listen to some of the things that you say.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stube, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and let's go to Sam from Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I appreciate your old work. I've read several of your books and listen whenever I can. Thank you for blessing us.
You are welcome. Now, what's going on in your life today?
I've been married for 6 years. The first three, I tried to be the submissive wife, and as time went on, the nicer I was, the meaner my husband became. It all came to a head when I had brought about $200,000 into our marriage, and he used that and some money of his own and wound up losing about $500,000 in the stock market.
Oh my ouch.
Took out loans without telling me, borrowed from his family, my family, finally fessed up to what had gone on, and our life has not been the same. He demands that I trust him, that I not, open mail to make sure we're not taking out other loans. He's drinking a lot now. I need some boundaries and some consequences because I have very young children, so I'm not willing to walk. But and I keep thinking God brought me here for a reason, or he wouldn't have blessed us with these children, but it is not very tolerable in my home right now.
Well, it's so sad, mm-hmm. And it's sad for both of you.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you about this stock market loss. Was this some crazy scheme, or was it something where he really thought...
Is this like everybody else who's lost money in the stock market?
No. This was a crazy, very risky stock, which I knew he went into very risky stocks, and I said that was okay as long as he didn't go into margin, that I didn't feel comfortable with that, but he did. And put a bunch of money in one stock, very heavily weighted, and over time kept buying, and it kept going down, and he kept buying. And then even after we sought counseling for this, because, you know, we were dealing with the repercussions, several months later after the counselor said, you need to get out, this is no good for your marriage, this is no good for you, he bought more of the same stock.
Yeah.
So I think there's an addictive issue here, I'm pretty sure, even though he denies it.
Well, you know, and two, for a man to admit failure is just... Yeah. Very, very difficult. You know, we're wired to go and bring home the bacon kind of thing. And
he's just one step away.
And it's one thing to lose money where you were being responsible and a lot of other people, like Jill was saying, like other people lose it. But when you do it because you were stupid, it's hard to get non-stupid. And so he just continues thinking he's going to win.
But the issue seems to be that he thinks you should just trust him. And I would say, why would I trust you when you have lied to me so often? Now, when you prove to me that you've made changes, I want to rebuild the trust. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort on your part to be open and honest with me. And don't let him bully you.
Yeah, when we break trust, we don't have the luxury of having just a blanket of trust.
Yeah, you break trust in an instant, and it takes years sometimes to rebuild. It depends on how hard the other person works at rebuilding it. And it's his responsibility to rebuild it, not to rip you because you don't trust.
So what has he done to change?
We have gone to counseling.
Okay.
He refuses to get out of the stock market. He refuses to quit drinking. He says that he, by continuing to be in the stock market and regaining some, that should be rebuilding my trust in him. But frankly, that's not helping.
No.
And he doesn't understand that. It's just, when I see the ticker go across the bottom of the TV, cold chills go down my spine.
Does he even realize how much he's broken your trust?
I don't think so.
Like,
and I don't know how to
that?
Be any more, you know, blatant about it, other than, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what else to do.
Well, and some of it, you know, him doing things behind your back, you know, if you're a married couple, I mean, you need to make a decision. Either you're going to do financial agreements together and your name is on everything and you are privy to everything, or somehow your money needs to be separate. If he's going to gamble his portion away.
Some people get a legal separation.
Just for the money.
When they're married to someone like this. And it protects you financially. And it kind of makes sure that you get your portion before he loses it. And so we have in the past recommended that when a person simply will not restrain themselves from gambling or risky behaviors like...
Yeah, he's basically gambling on on the stock market.
He is.
Right.
And this is the thing. You've been willing to move toward him by moving a little bit beyond your comfort zone and say giving the okay for him to do certain things. But he's pushed it to an extreme. So now you're in the opposite camp, the opposite side of things. Because, you know, women tend to want security more than men. And so, you know, that's where he's not willing to move towards you. And you need to see him moving towards you in order for you to trust him.
Right.
And seeing that security is important. So I would be having some more discussions with him about that. And that will tell you then the decisions you need to make.
Or another approach, you avoid this issue because you can't win it, and you say, we're separate, we're apart, we need to get ourselves back on the same page, let's go get some counseling together.
About the marriage.
And then, in the process, this issue becomes the center of the counseling eventually. That may be one way for there to be some hope. Let me send you Walking Into Walls, his stubborn resistance. Boy, that's right there.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Rose from Garden Grove, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Rose.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I just seem to be, let me preface it with, I had been on antidepressants for over a year, and I really wanted to get off of them, and the doctors finally told me, fine, go ahead. So maybe that's why I'm being so weepy and sensitive, but okay. I just feel like I am so raw and getting hit with a lot of things that I thought I had let go of and accepted, and I'm just having a really hard time.
What are you talking about?
Well, example, I was molested my entire childhood, age 4 to 12. And relationships where I felt I had been left, and most recently someone who I considered to be a best friend seemingly has walked away from our friendship, and I have no idea why. And my husband hasn't worked in over 2 years, so I'm feeling really overwhelmed, like everything just seems monumental, and I'm having a hard time coping.
And this is when you decided to go off antidepressants, Rose?
Well, thanks, Jill.
I'm sorry. I'm just asking.
I didn't like the way they made me feel.
Okay.
If I forgot to take a dosage, even, you know, for a few hours, I felt really dizzy, and I didn't like the way they made me feel.
Okay.
It's not like I haven't done enough work to realize that I have a lot more to do with and say in my life, and that there are things that I can do to make my perspective different. Or you know, I know that things always change, and that there's always hope. Mm-hmm. That I do know, but I've just been. I keep thinking back to you know, I guess I'm just feeling very victimized right now. I don't know. I just, I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of things that are closing in, and it kind of snowballs with all of the things from the past. It's very familiar.
Yeah.
Like to you.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm at my heaviest that I've ever been.
Food to comfort yourself? Is that what you're
saying?
I don't
know if it's comfort at this point. I think it's just stuffing down the feelings.
Just stuffing down the feelings, yeah. Mm. So, Rose, you said that you know that you have more work to do. Are you in therapy right now?
I am.
Okay. So you're working closely with the therapist?
Well, actually, I'm in therapy with my husband.
Okay.
I'm not doing one-on-one therapy. But it's a therapist who's known me for many, many years.
Okay.
I mean, she knew me, you know, she's known me for 30 years.
Okay.
So she pretty much knows everything there
is. Okay.
To know
well,
about.
The question is, you know, when we're really overwhelmed, is what we're doing enough? And so if you think about a therapy session being like a cup that helps to contain you, is there stuff that keeps spilling out? Like, do you need another cup? Do you need another session? Do you need a group? Do you need something that you can put in place to help you during a time where everything feels like it's closing in?
Okay.
So marital therapy is good. You know, there's a number of support groups that are free if finances are an issue, if your husband's out of work. You know, there are survivors groups. There are overeating groups or groups for eating issues. So there's lots of support groups. Lots of churches have Celebrate Recovery and different types of support groups. And so adding some of those pieces in to help you for what you need. I mean, medication is just one thing that helps to contain.
Uh-huh.
It's not the only thing.
And this might be a good opportunity to go back to your doctor and say, okay, I got off this. Let's try something different.
Right.
Yeah,
something where
thinking.
It doesn't make me...
What were you so, on, Rose? Which med? Rose?
Sorry.
Oh. What were you on?
Cymbalta.
Okay.
Okay.
They all work differently, so I would talk to your doc and say, you know, I didn't like the way that worked. I'd like to do something different, though, because...
Well, you know, I actually did go back to him and told him that I didn't like the way it made me feel. And his solution was to double my dosage. And so
of the same med?
I didn't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I just
okay.
felt like, okay, I'm not being heard here. I'm trying to tell you that I'm not
Which
comfortable
adds
with
to you feeling that victim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everything
and
is replaying
feeling out
that.
Of control, like, mm-hmm. okay, I don't even have a say in what goes into my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. It feels that way. But in fact, you do have a say. Right?
Because yeah,
you did tell him you didn't like how it felt, and you did go off of it. And you don't have to go back to him, or you can go back to him and say, I don't think you're hearing me. I don't want to be on this med. Is there something else I could try?
Yeah.
Well, I did stop going to him. I actually got the prescribed weaning off of from another doctor.
And Rose, okay. here's another thing. Use the food thing and the weight thing as an excuse to go connect with some other women.
Right.
Well, I'm not against it at all. What I'm finding difficulty in is finding something that is geographically mm-hmm. and schedule-wise.
Right.
Okay. And Rose, where you live... There
yeah.
are,
go ahead.
There are tons of groups around you.
I tried looking online.
Okay.
I couldn't find anything that was early morning or late at night. I work in Hollywood, so my commute is pretty long.
Okay.
And you know, I just and early morning would be preferable because my schedule is just. I never know what time I get to leave the office.
Do you know a lot of times there are also online groups?
Uh-huh.
That, you know, if you had one that met on the East Coast, you could do it here in California at, you know, 6 in the morning or whenever it was convenient for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you think that would be as effective as...
Well,
something, though.
Something instead of, you know, you're trying to add things. It's like all these different things help to support you. There's not one thing that is going to be the answer. Mm-hmm. It's all these things together. Because
yeah.
you draw in and add support as you find that you're needing it.
Okay. Hey, Rose. Rose,
yeah.
you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this.
Yeah.
I know it, Ken. That's why I'm so angry
yeah.
at myself.
Well,
yeah.
stop the anger. Pick up the phone. Look on the internet. You know what to do. You can do it. I'd start with that medication issue.
It's really hard when yeah. you feel overwhelmed and yeah. depressed.
Sorry that you're feeling
it
like
it. Just
this.
Really does skew the way you see things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the doctor that gave you the protocol for going off of it would be probably a good yeah. person to talk to about it.
Yeah.
A different one.
Just so that you can do then the other things right. that you need to do.
It's like putting a cast on a broken bone. It helps the healing.
Yep. Walking into walls, coming your way, Rose. And God bless you, and don't give up. All right, let's go to Julie, who listens on WQME, the studio I broadcast from here in Indianapolis. Hi, Julie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good.
And you?
I'm doing okay. I've recently started some counseling.
Yeah.
And it's considered biblical counseling, and it's free, which is why I've gone this route.
Okay.
But I am wondering if there is a difference between the biblical counseling from lay counselors versus going to, a licensed psychologist.
Yeah. Well, what kind of biblical counseling
Julie, I would
is
hope
it?
So.
Yeah. What kind of biblical counseling is it?
Well, they're going through the whole process of, delving into my past and unearthing, some things that I need to deal with. I've gone through a lot of transitions in the past few years, and so we're starting to go through that. But, you know, I've got a lot of homework, which is good. They're having me, reading verses and things like that. I'm only about a month into it.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the big issue that you were seeking help for?
Anxiety.
Okay. All right. And so a month later, how's it going?
Not too much better.
Not too much better. Okay.
Is it the kind of biblical counseling that says that everything is caused by sin?
No.
Okay. Because there is that branch, and that usually doesn't help with things like this. So.
It sounds like you're doing some positive mm-hmm. stuff and some helpful stuff and using the Bible. And I think that is, the more we get into Scripture from the right perspective, not in a condemning way, but in a motivating and a challenging way. And I think that's good. But maybe there's something else. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Julie, involved in biblical counseling, but a month later, the anxiety is still kind of hanging on there. Jill, Dave, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of it being lay counseling versus a trained licensed professional. And there's studies that show that lay counseling can be very effective, but it does take a lot longer, the process, because there is a difference between somebody who has spent time getting a license, which means the education, and the practicum under supervision. You're going to get something much more efficiently from somebody who's a licensed counselor. But it depends on how urgent it feels for you, Julia. That would be the question I'd have.
Yeah, some days it feels more urgent than others.
Well, right. Some days you feel more anxious. And, you know, anything you do is definitely going to be a process. There aren't those instant fixes. I mean, with anxiety, the most instant thing would be a medication to kind of aid you in the process if you feel like you're barely able to function, and because the anxiety is getting in the way. But so to look at it in terms of a process, and it sounds like you're getting some good things there, but you know, it might be something that you want to also go to a professional for as well. And then you can kind of see the difference. And a lot of times they can work in tandem together. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting kind of the biblical worksheets along with that to add to the things that you're looking at with the therapist as you're uncovering some of the truths about yourself and your life. And what is this big ball of anxiety? You know, kind of dissecting it and seeing, you know, the more specifics about your life and the things that actually play into that anxiety for you.
If as you've looked at the childhood there, were you in a situation where you were frequently anxious? It was chaotic at home when you were growing up?
You know what? My parents divorced when I was 5. Mm. I think the anxiety has started way back there, and it's become it's so wrapped up in who I am that I don't even often recognize what I'm dealing with as anxiety because it feels so natural to me.
Hmm. Well, right. That's a good insight right there.
Yeah.
Right, right. You know, and I've been looking at some things lately that talk about, you know, when kids experience divorce, it's such a foundational injury for them because it kind of speaks to the very reason for your existence. And yes. So there's a lot of identity issues that come out of that when children go through divorce, unlike the mom and dad who are, you know, are grieving the hurt and the loss and then move on. They're already grown, so it affects them differently. Whereas children, it really affects a sense of who they are. So that would make sense that anxiety came into play at that time in your life. Mm-hmm,
definitely.
The bottom fell out of your life.
Yeah,
makes
of course.
Sense.
Absolutely.
You go through life wondering, when's it going to happen again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so that's where maybe being with somebody that you could trust over time to really explore that, and somebody that would be a consistent person in your life would be a good thing.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks
I'm
for
glad
your call,
that you
David.
Called. All right. We've got time for one more phone call. It's not going to be, we won't be able to spend a lot of time, but let's go to Tammy from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Tammy, are you there? Hello, Tammy.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, but how can we
help? I know,
so
let me make this quick.
Okay.
Actually, the gal that called in a long time ago, we're kind of walking a parallel life here.
Okay.
I found out about 3 years ago, my husband was doing porn online. He told me that he quit, and then I just recently found a magazine after he pleaded with me that he wanted to save our marriage.
Okay.
My question is, when is it considered an addiction?
Now.
The second time you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, it's been more than that, I'm sure.
When you're telling your wife, you know, one thing and you're doing something else, that's a pretty good sign
that's an addiction.
The addiction has hold of you.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter whether it's crossed the line into addiction. It's an insult to you. It is a divisive thing that is going to destroy your relationship even more. He must stop it. And you need to demand that it be taken care of. He needs help. He needs to go to Every Man's Battle.
Okay. Well, he's still blaming me for it, for his...
Well, that's addiction,
that's
too.
That's addiction also.
Yeah, addicts blame other people for stuff that's obviously started by themselves.
Okay. So a quick question then. How do I set that boundary? How forceful do I get with this?
You say, honey, I called. Here's the next workshop. I've paid the money. I've got your ticket for the, you know, if it's not in your area. And I expect you to go. Now, that's your best chance of him going, is you get all the details worked out.
Okay.
And, honey, the only reason you wouldn't go is that you care more about that problem than you do me. And, by the way, while you're there, I'm going to be working on me, too.
Okay.
Well, and... you know that he would stop this. I mean, even to tell him, I know you would stop this if you could. But I think you've proved that you can't.
That's the addictive
element. I even asked him the other night. I said, so what happens when you're exposed to it again? He goes, well, I'm only human. I can't tell you I'm not going to do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an addiction.
So he realizes he can't stop, so he's just resigned to it.
The guy that went to Every Man's Battle, who is taking that new way of living, would say, if I'm tempted, well, it's not a sin to be tempted, but when I'm tempted, I'm calling Bob or John or Bucky or whoever it is, and we're going to get through this together because I am not going to succumb to that temptation.
And is it fair to say if you don't do this, then I can no longer be married to you?
No, I don't think that's a good way to go because
there
are a lot of other steps there. Mm-hmm. But it is okay to say if you can't do this, then obviously... we need to separate.
Okay.
And that separation isn't so you get divorced. It's so he comes to grips with the consequences of his behavior.
How serious
it is. And hopefully wants to change.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I thought about that, but I thought, well, then that's just going to give him an open avenue to do it more because I won't be there.
Well, he's going to do it more anyway. And it's just a question of whether he's going to feel bad about it or not.
You're not responsible, Tammy, for whatever he's doing. You've got to get out of that kind of a bind. It's not your responsibility.
Okay.
You should treat it as him being unfaithful to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trust me. I have.
That's how it feels, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And he doesn't get that. He thinks it's my problem that I'm not accepting that this is something all men do, is what he told me.
Well, just say to him that he is absolutely wrong about that. But here's something
that it's in the way of your relationship with him.
Yeah. And there's some well-known radio talk show people who say that because they don't have a solution for it. That's why they say that. They don't think it's solvable. But we know it's solvable because we have testimony after testimony of guys who've made the change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome.
Right. And and that saying it's just a guy thing, that was invented by guys, right?
Tammy, we've seen thousands of men walk out of this problem and renew their relationship, and it's just amazing. Otherwise, we'd be saying, well, I don't know. But we know it can be helped. He can be a different man. You can have a different relationship.
Christian and non-Christian men, correct? Because he's
both.
Very angry at God. He's not saved.
It's both, yes.
Both. Mm-hmm. He just needs to take care of it. I'm glad you called. Wish we had more time. If anybody needs
help... Stay on the line, and we'll give you some more help on that.
Yeah. If anybody needs help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. We want to help you. We also need your support. It's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen and support. We'll see you next time on New Life Live. God bless you. Have a great day today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.